quite often, one of the songs that we sing is 459 in our songbook, and you don't need to turn to it. You know the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. The first verse of that song goes, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Whenever we sing about it, and we sing about that fellowship, and I know it's talking about the fellowship that we have with God, but I can't help but think of our church and the fellowship that we enjoy in this place. That word fellowship means fellows in the same ship. That's exactly what it means. And we enjoy fellowship. We are fellows, and not just fellows, male fellows, but we are fellows in the same ship called the church that God has brought us together and put us in this place. And if our church was going to pick an anthem, I think this would be a good song to pick for our anthem. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. But leaning on the everlasting arms. Brother Gary sang the song, I need thee every hour. That's so true. One time he sang that and somebody went out and said, you know, that song's a little bit wrong. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, I don't just need him every hour, I need him every second. But hours are made up of seconds. And so when we sing, I need thee every hour, that's what we're saying. We need him every moment of every day. Tonight, I really wouldn't classify this as a sermon. I just want to talk to you as your pastor tonight. I want to do two things. I want to encourage you to lean on Jesus. That's what that song is about, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know, the second verse says, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. It grows brighter because we're getting closer to heaven. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Last verse, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. And so tonight, here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to lean on Jesus. The best way I know how to do that is to remind you of some of the benefits, some of the good things that come along with us leaning on Him. And then I'll end tonight by telling you how to do it. And I want to illustrate that. And it'll be a real simple illustration. And when you see it, you'll say, well, that's so true. So true, and yet so many of us just don't do it. And so let me start tonight by quickly just giving you four benefits, four things that we receive when we lean on Jesus. When we lean on Him, we enjoy sweet fellowship with Him, sweet communion with Him, sweet friendship with Him. You know, when you're leaning on somebody, that's a benefit from leaning. Carol was talking about her date night with Andy. You know what I wanted to ask her? Carol, did you do any smooching on that date? Nick, come up here for a minute. I need you to help me. Don't worry, we're not going to smooch. Sit down right here. Now look. No, sit down. Go ahead. Sit down. I won't try anything funny. But look, if you're close enough to lean on somebody, you're enjoying sweet fellowship. It means you're a friend. I mean, you wouldn't. I mean, if you tried to lean and get close to a complete stranger, they'd probably slap you. I mean, they go, just like Nick almost did to me. But when you feel comfortable enough to get close to somebody to lean on them, it means that you're enjoying sweet fellowship with them. Let me ask you tonight, how much do you think you can lean on Jesus if you keep known sin in your life? If we keep known sin in our life, I'm going to tell you, we won't feel much like leaning on our Savior. Because that sin, even though we're saved and we're going to go to heaven, that separates us from Him. Not from a salvation standpoint, but from a fellowship standpoint. The Bible even says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if I keep a sin in my heart that the Holy Spirit has convicted me about, I can't get close. I can't lean on Him the way that that we should as Christians. And so when the path is clear, and when our life, we're trying to live our life the best as we can to keep sin out of it. And I know some of your testimonies tonight, Satan comes after us as Christians. Satan tempts us. Satan tries us. Satan will try to throw everything at the book at us to get us to fall. Because he knows that if we fall, it'll mess up the fellowship that we have. It'll drive a wedge between us and our God. And that's why we need to work so hard to keep that known sin, again, the sin that we're convicted of by God, out of our life, so that we can lean on him, so we can have that fellowship. All right, thank you, Brother Nick. See, nothing to embarrass you, right? All right, so fellowship is one thing that we get from leaning on Jesus. Let me ask you tonight, think about the Last Supper. All the disciples were there, even Judas, before he left. Who do you think the disciple was that had the closest fellowship with Jesus that night?
John.
Why John? Because he was leaning on Jesus' breast. Remember what the Bible says about the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Doesn't mean that he didn't love the rest of them. He loved old Peter, even though Peter stuck his foot in his mouth every chance he got. He loved Matthew. He even loved Judas, the one that would betray him. He loved them all. But there was something special for the Bible to say, John, the disciple that Jesus loved. You know why I think he loved him? Because, again, Nick's not here, but I'll just sit down so you remember. Because John leaned on Christ. Literally, at the Last Supper, he leaned on his breast. They had sweet fellowship together. A second benefit that we get when we lean on Christ is we get his strength. We get his strength. Isaiah chapter 40, I had my tie on this morning that had the eagles on it. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Now, I know that wait means that we need to serve him. But that wait also includes leaning on him. Because in this world, when we're tested and we're tried, in this world, when we're attacked by Satan and the world and everything in the world, we cannot face that temptation in our own strength. We face that temptation only with the strength of our Savior. The Bible, in the book of Philippians, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." The closer you get to him, the closer that I get to him, the more that I lean on him, the more strength that I get, the more strength that I have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know what one of those ways of escape is? Leaning on our Savior. Just leaning on him, drawing strength from him, drawing resolve from him, drawing commitment from him. We get strength from him. The third benefit that we get is we get hope. We get hope. I mentioned Jessica's cats this morning in Sunday school. She has fed those cats, I bet, 10, and I don't bet, but she has fed those cats, I dare say, over 10,000 times. And yet I think those cats worry about where their next meal is coming from. Every time mealtime comes around, and I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school, she comes in the door, and they meet her at the door, meowing, like, "Where's our food? We're worried that we're not going to get fed." They've been fed 10,000 times. She feeds them like clockwork in the morning and at night. I don't understand why they would worry about where they're going to get their next meal. I mean, she's committed to feeding them. Sometimes I wish she wouldn't. Well, never mind, but... Sorry, Judy. I caught myself. Look, why should we worry? Hasn't God proved himself to us over and over? Hasn't he proved that he knows what we need? Hasn't he proved that he has the ability and the resources to meet those needs? I don't believe there's anyone here tonight that has gone a prolonged period of time without a basic need in life being met. Yeah, maybe there's been a time where God had a special time of testing for you where he withheld some basic needs so you'd learn to lean on him, so you'd learn to trust him. But I dare say most of us, if not all of us here tonight, if I gave you the chance, could stand and testify just like Brother Leroy did a minute ago. I got a big God. There's never been a need in my life, a need, not a want, but never been a need in my life that my God didn't meet. He met them all. He's met them all. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The big God that Brother Leroy was talking about a minute ago cares for you. And he invites you to cast everything you're worried about, all the concerns of your heart, all the heartbreaks that are in your life, all the things that you are concerned about, that you're praying for, to cast them on him. Because he cares for you, and he cares for the things that you care about. I was blessed by the testimonies tonight. I was blessed by the answer to prayer. And I know that comes from a God that knows what's going on in our life, knows what's going on in the life of those that we love, cares about what's going on in our lives and the lives of those we love, and invites us all, cast our care upon him because he cares for us. And then number four, what we get from leaning on him, we learn. We learn. We learn. We read from Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. As we lean on Christ, as we get in the yoke with him, we learn of him. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's what we need to learn, to be meek and lowly in heart. Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself and became a man. He humbled himself and went to the cross. He humbled himself to the point of death to die in our place on Calvary. And he says, you lean on me. You get in the yoke with me and you lean on me and you learn from me. You learn what it is to be meek and lowly in heart. And when you do that, you'll find rest for your souls. Now, I could go on. But tonight, those are the four things that I wanted to just mention to you. This is what we get when we lean on him. We get the fellowship. We get the strength. We get the hope. We get the learning. So, how do you do it? How do you lean on Christ? I want to illustrate and I want to say a couple of things about it. So, I'd like Adam and Arnie to come up here for a minute. All right? Okay, go right up there and stand. And Adam, you go right up there and stand with him. Right up there. Okay. Arnie, what? I want you to jump, and I'm going to catch you. Okay? Jump. Oh, okay. Let's do it one more time. Okay? You ready? Go back there and get a running start. A running start. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Run, jump. All right. All right, now you stand right there. Okay, Adam.
Get a running start.
What's the matter? Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? Come on. Running start. Tell Dad. Take her. What's the matter? You don't want to see it? Why not?
Because I don't like it.
Oh, you don't like it? Okay, go on back. Okay, come on. Go with Dad. How do you lean? How do you lean? You lean, you jump, you trust that God's going to catch you. How do you lean? I mean, you can talk about it, and you can study about it, and you can see other people's example of them leaning on Christ, but how do you learn to do it? You do it. Just like little Arnie, he took a flying leap. He was confident that Paul was going to catch him. By the way, we practiced this morning a little bit, so he knew. But he knew that Paul was going to catch him. Why didn't Adam? Why did you laugh when I said, come on, Adam? You know why? Because you knew that I couldn't catch him. You knew that if he jumped, if he leaped, we were both going to suffer bodily injury. But listen, isn't that how we treat God sometimes? He says, come on, I'll catch you. Jump. Lean. I'm strong enough to catch you. And we say, I don't think so. I don't think so. And we keep our problems to ourselves. And we face those problems in our own strength. And we face those problems with our own resources. And we face those problems without God. And He's there. He's strong enough to catch the biggest problem that you have. Amen. He's strong enough. Brother Leroy, your testimony was perfect tonight. He's a big God. Doesn't matter how big your problem is. Doesn't matter how big your burden is. Doesn't matter how big your heartache is. He's big enough to catch us and hold us in His arms and give us that strength and give us that hope and give us that fellowship and teach us all about Himself. Amen. I read the story again this week. I've told it here before, and I'm sure you've heard it before, about a lady, a poor lady, lived in the poor part of Chicago. She had a son. He wasn't much of a son. He was rebellious and didn't love his mom very much, and as soon as he could, he left home. Mom kept praying for him. She was a Christian, and she prayed and asked God to just reach down and touch his son and save him, and God did that in a miraculous way. He reached down and saved her son. He straightened out his life, went to work, wrote mom a letter every week, telling how much he loved her, telling her how much that he was grateful for her prayers and grateful for the upbringing that she tried to give him. The pastor of her church heard about his conversion, and of course he visited the lady often. And one day he went over and was talking to her about her son. I said, I heard your son got saved. Oh, yes, he was gloriously saved. God answered my prayer. And the preacher said, I heard that he's got his life straightened out. Oh, yeah, he's living a good life. He went to work, got a good job. Writes me a letter every week. Still, she lived in the poor section of town. House was dilapidated, didn't have a lot in the house, and a lot of repairs needed to be done. And the pastor thought to himself, well, if his son is saved and if he was so grateful to his mom, why doesn't he take care of her better? Why doesn't he provide for her? And the lady goes on, yeah, he sends me a letter every week, and there's a little piece of paper in that letter. And the preacher says, well, what are those little pieces of paper? And the lady says, well, I don't know. I got them pasted up on the wall in my bedroom. You want to see them? And the pastor said, yeah, I'd like to see them. So she takes them in the bedroom, and plastered on the wall are thousands of dollars worth of traveler checks. She didn't know what they were. But every week, he sent mom a check. And they were plastered on her wall. Sometimes that's what we do with God. He has the resources available that we need. He has the power available that we need. We don't claim it. We don't cash the check. We don't claim the promise. Elizabeth was talking in her testimony tonight about quoting Scripture. God loves it when we remind Him of His promises. He loves it when we quote Scripture when we pray. Because as we claim the promise and quote the Scripture, what we're saying is, God, I'm gonna claim the promise. I'm gonna test you. How do you learn to lean? You start leaning. You take the leap. You jump, and you trust God. How do you learn to tithe? Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Test me. Try me. Trust me. See if I'm not big enough to not fail you. See if I'm not big enough to be worthy of your trust. See if I'm not big enough to catch you when you take that flying leap and put your faith and trust in me. I like it. I think, Brother Clyde, you and Frieda sing this song. I think I heard you sing it one time. I know it's on your CDs because I listened to it. That song, Learning to Lean. I think, Brother Gary, you might sing that song too. Learning to Lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Let's learn to do that. Let's learn to do it. If you don't remember nothing else tonight, you remember the faith that that little one had and the lack of faith that that big one had tonight. And let's have the faith of the little one. That when we feel like we need to be held by our Heavenly Father, let's just jump into His arms. Let's just lean on Him and let Him be God to us. Let Him be God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Thank you that you are a God that has everlasting arms and we can lean on Him. We can lean on Him. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you've convicted them of sin, that they see the penalty for that sin, separation from you. They see the price that Christ paid on Calvary. I pray tonight if there's even one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, that they come, make that decision to receive Him. Speak to hearts as Christians tonight, Father. Help us to lean more on you. The Bible says without faith, without leaning on you, it's impossible to please you. So help us to lean more and more and more. Help us to learn how to lean. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.